We get things underway by welcoming back to the program from the Boston Globe, Peter Abraham. Pete, good afternoon.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing well. A little road weary. You've been doing some traveling there.
Yeah, we've had a couple of long road trips in a row, and woke up this morning in Texas, and here I am in New York.
Man, oh man. Well, back in the old stomping grounds for you, and what a great series coming up. First, let's take a look at what happened over the weekend. A good one for the Red Sox, and as you wrote, part of that was because it was real Chris Sale weather down in Texas.
Yeah, you know, you had a feeling yesterday before that game started that it was going to be a good one for Sale because he's always liked pitching in hot weather. He's from Florida. He's been doing a lot of work on the side to try to improve his slider. And he was facing a very free-swinging team in Texas, a team that's second in the majors in strikeouts. It seemed like it was all set up for him to have a good day, and he sure did. Went seven innings, allowed only one run, struck out a season-high 12. So this was the Chris Sale I think people have been waiting to see. And certainly he had been pitching well, but the velocity had been down a little bit, and there had been a couple of erratic moments, but this was really the Cy Young contending Chris Sale that we saw last year.
Well, and not only that, but in watching the game on TV, his velocity, which tends to be often higher later in the game, was right up there in the first inning.
Yeah, and he said after the game he thought that was because of the weather. He was able to get loose pretty quickly. He got into a good rhythm, and you could, you know, right in the first inning, he struck out the first three guys. It made it look easy. And when you saw the first couple of fastballs coming in 97, 98, it was a big step up from what we saw previously. And again, I think a lot of that was the weather. He pitched in so many cold weather games in Boston. I think when you're pitching in those situations, you're not worried about the velocity as much as you are just locating the ball and trying to get off the field quickly.
One scary moment yesterday was the situation involving Mookie Betts' throw that hit him in the shoulder. And at first it looked like maybe he had injured his wrist, but sounds like now just a stinger in the shoulder. He may still go tomorrow night. What's the latest?
Yeah, I talked to him after the game last night, and he was saying it wasn't his hand. It was just that the ball hit him right on the squarely on the shoulder blade. It kind of caused a numbing sensation kind of throughout his whole arm, and that it had nothing to do with the slide or anything like that. And by the time the game was over with, he felt, you know, back to normal. They had a big bandage on his back to try to treat the bruise. They have, and they felt like with the day off and the night game on Tuesday that, you know, the expectation was he'd be ready to go.
Well, he's been absolutely on fire yesterday, but not everybody is hitting the way they were expected to or should. And you wrote about it today. Alex Cora may be faced with making some decisions, particularly regarding Jackie Bradley Jr. and Eduardo Nunez.
Yeah, you know, it's they've had sort of a seamless lineup throughout the season. They, you know, the same guys in the same spots. The only changes they've made have been by choice, either when they felt like giving somebody a day off, and you know, they really haven't had too many times where they've needed to do something. It's all been because they've wanted to do something. But with Jackie now, you know, this is going on 4 weeks. He's had a rough time, and the same thing with Nunez in the last couple of weeks. And you look at what Mitch Moreland's doing when he comes in to play first base. The Red Sox certainly have an option there where they could play Moreland at first and have Hanley Ramirez DH and put J.D. Martinez in the outfield. And with Nunez, Brock Holt's probably going to be back on the roster by Wednesday. So the Sox would have the option of playing Holt at second base instead of Nunez. And it would be an upgrade defensively, certainly. And the way Holt was hitting before he went on the DL, at this point, it's an upgrade offensively, too. So it'll be interesting to see whether Cora stays the course with those guys, or because they're playing the Yankees and it's a big series, and, you know, if he gets caught up in that and decides to make some moves.
We're talking with Pete Abraham of the Boston Globe, but David Price continues to struggle. Word is that it's a circulatory issue that he's dealt with before. What do the Red Sox do with this guy?
Well, you know, it was a circulatory issue for one game. It was a real cold night at Fenway Park, and he had some problems gripping the ball. His other six starts, it had nothing to do with that. It was, you know, he's had some inconsistencies. But when you look at his season in a whole, you know, if that one game where he came out after the first inning on that cold night, you know, if you take that one aside, he's pitched well, at least reasonably well, four times and not so well the others. So it's not like the entire season has been some wreck. First two games, he was excellent. Seven innings both times, no runs. So it's not an issue with his elbow or his shoulder. I think it's more inconsistency with the location of his pitches, particularly his fastball. And that's all stuff that they could correct, and I'm sure they're spending a lot of time with trying to correct it. The circulation thing, I think, has got a bit overplayed because it was so unusual, but that was only something that happened one night, and it's not something they're dealing with on a daily basis.
Well, it certainly sets up a great series of the Red Sox and Yankees both playing so very well as they get ready to go tomorrow night. Is there much difference between these two teams?
Well, you look at it statistically, there's really not. And I was just sitting down here looking at some of the numbers, and they're among the two best offensive teams in the game. Both of them have had really excellent pitching. They both have deep bullpens. They both have power hitters in the middle of the lineup. They have guys who can get on base at the top of the lineup. You can make an argument, if you were doing a fantasy baseball draft, you know, who would you take first from those two rosters? You could have a heck of an argument. It would, you know, you look at Judge and Mookie Betts and Giancarlo Stanton and J.D. Martinez and Chris Sale and Luis Severino and, you know, the Craig Kimbrell and Aroldis Chapman are probably the two best closers in the game. There's not a lot of, you know, there's a reason why they have the two best records in baseball. And I think for baseball fans, maybe not baseball fans on the West Coast, but certainly for baseball fans in the Northeast, this is, I think, going to be a fun summer to see these two teams fight it out to see who wins the division.
And can this Red Sox team get even better? Tyler Thornburg getting closer to coming back, adding a little more depth to this bullpen. Have we seen the best of this team yet?
I don't think so, because you're right. Thornburg's pitching tonight for Portland, so he's on his way back. I mean, it's not going to be, I don't think, soon that they need to see him in some situations just because he hasn't pitched for so long, going back to 2016. And the other guy who's making his way back is Dustin Pedroia, and he's still down in Florida working out in extended spring training, but he's getting close to a point where they'll assign him to one of the affiliates and start working his way back up. And you look at kind of what they're missing defensively at second base, Pedroia is going to be a very good fit. And this is a guy Alex Cora is dying to get back because he feels like he's going to make the lineup even longer, give them a spark just by his, you know, his presence around the clubhouse. He really hasn't been around the team at all since spring training. So, but at the same time, they need to be careful with him because he did have extensive knee surgery. They don't want this to be the kind of thing where he comes back and plays the game and then they're not sure if he's going to play the next day. They want him to come back and be able to play 4 or 5 days in a row. So it's going to take a while. But what the Red Sox look like on June 15th is probably not going to be what they look like right now.
Yeah, it's interesting, and you suggested today at BostonGlobe.com that this year may be a year where teams are going to look to make their moves earlier because the haves and the have-nots are separating themselves quickly.
Yeah, I've heard that from a number of executives, and I think when you look at the number of teams that are, you can almost say, determined to play more for a draft pick than for a playoff spot, there's so many of these teams now that are looking at the way the Astros and the Cubs did it by really falling, you know, having terrible teams for a couple of years in a row to restock their farm systems and then build up that way. That seems to be an acceptable way to go. And it's, you know, you look at the Marlins and the Padres and some of these teams that are seemingly happy and content to have these bad records. Those teams, I think, are going to start to make trades a lot earlier than the last week of July. And if you're the Red Sox or the Yankees or the Dodgers or the Cubs, you're probably going to look to fill whatever needs you have then. Or now, instead of waiting for July, because if you feel like, you know, say you need a lefty reliever, you might as well go out and get them now and get the most value out of them instead of waiting.
Now, the minor league system is a little bit depleted. What do they have for assets that they can deal?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Dave Dombrowski spent the last couple of days looking at some of those players, and I think he's trying to figure out who he would deal and who he'd want to keep. And the Red Sox feel like, even though they're not ranked among the top farm systems, they're usually in the lower third, they feel like they have some players that they like, who they feel like could help, you know, the major league team at some point. You look at some of the pitchers in Pawtucket in particular. But at the same time, they're going to have to figure out which of these guys would they be willing to give up and deal away to get something that they need. And certainly they were hurt when Michael Chavis was suspended for using a performance-enhancing drug. He was one of their best prospects. They've had some other issues with some of their better guys being hurt or just not performing the way they thought. So it's going to be interesting to see to what degree they'd be willing to bite into the farm system, because they've done it a lot in recent years to get Kimbrel and to get Sale. So they're going to have to figure out the balance and the way to go. And the one guy who maybe might be their best hope to do that would be Blake Swihart, because he doesn't seem to have a role on the big league team, but he's a catcher, he's still fairly young, and there could be interest from other teams out there for a guy like that.
Pete Abraham of the Boston Globe checking in with us from New York City. I know you're pretty busy. You get a little time to enjoy the city tonight?
I'm hoping. I still got a couple things I need to write for the paper tomorrow, but the good thing is it doesn't close here, so maybe I can get out tonight and have dinner or something.
There you go. I hope so. Well, we appreciate you checking in with us on this busy Monday. Pete Abraham of the Globe, thanks as always. We'll talk to you soon.
Anytime. Thank you.